From the biggest headlines in sports to the stories behind the game. On the Mark. This is where the conversation begins. Breaking down the plays, the players, and the passion of the game. You're listening to On the Mark. Hosted by Marquell Collins Gray. Bringing you national sports talk, interviews, and insights.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm your host, Marquell Collins Gray. Listen, folks, we got a jam-packed show today. We got a special guest. We got the NFL draft coming. We got the NBA playoffs here. But before we get into that, I would like to get into my weekend recap, which I like to do. All right, folks, listen. I don't really condone spending a lot of money on appliances, but you know what? Ice Maker went out a couple of months ago. I talked her into doing the old-fashioned ice trays. That lasted a little while, and it lasted to the point where I got the old sit-down talk saying, listen, either do this together or I'm going to do this without you, but a new refrigerator is coming. My wife and I did some refrigerator shopping. Glad that she made that decision because I just drove the car. I didn't even drive. I rode in the car. That was that. So, yeah, in case she was going to argue with herself. So, guys, as cheap as you want to be, as frugal as you want to be, there are some arguments that you can't win. So if you want to sleep comfortably at night and not on the couch, I would have strongly advised y'all, let your wives get what they want because they're going to do it with or without you anyway. So I would advise you to get on board with that. All right, so the NBA playoffs are here. Listen, folks, I don't understand how the Rockets lost to the Lakers. I got some real questions, concerns about the Houston Rockets right now losing to a Lakers team that was led by LeBron James and Marcus Smart with a bunch of Motley Crue members coming in there. I mean, Houston came in there and got worked over. I can't put my finger on what the Rockets' issues are, but I understand this. Kevin Durant not on the floor didn't help at all. Not having Fred VanVleet running the point doesn't help at all. But I am a firm believer of Amen Thompson, and I'm a firm believer of Ime Udoka. I just don't understand how they lost to a Austin Reeves-less, Luka Doncic-less Lakers team. And it didn't even look like it was close. I watched that game and I just threw up question mark after question mark after question mark. Being outplayed, out-hustled, out-rebounded. The Houston Rockets look unorganized. They look completely unorganized. Los Angeles Lakers took advantage of that. Listen, LeBron James is going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. We know that. He saw an opening. He exploited a weakness. He took him down. Simple as that. Simple as that. That may go down in Lakers history as one of the best games LeBron's ever played. I'm not saying he's better than Kobe. Not saying that as far as that performance was concerned. But LeBron James gave the Los Angeles Lakers exactly what they needed in game one. And they took control of a Rockets team that I thought that was going to go in there and just potentially sweep them. But now the Rockets are going to be potentially swept. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. I do expect Kevin Durant to be on the floor here shortly. I don't expect Luka Doncic or Austin Reeves to be on the floor here shortly. But if it gets to a game five or a game six, I do think they will be on the floor. But in order for the Rockets to survive this, they need Kevin Durant on the floor immediately. All hands on deck in that in Houston, because the way that whole first game went down, that was embarrassing. Orlando Magic going to Detroit, take game one, steal game one, actually. But what I saw from the Pistons, they looked a little out of rhythm. Cade Cunningham is back. I think that when he gets his feet underneath him, I think they'll be fine. I think that offense is just too potent. They have too many good players to actually not come out of this series. But my concerns about the Detroit Pistons are far less compelling than what they are with the Houston Rockets. Like I think the Detroit Pistons would be just fine. I think that they have to get into a rhythm, establish their type of basketball, play a little bit of better defense, you know, shave the turnovers down, get some offensive rebounds, get some stops on defense. I think the Detroit Pistons are just well too equipped in order to lose this series. Now, the Orlando Magic folks are riding a high right now. They just blew out the Charlotte Hornets, who, by the way, LaMelo Ball should have been ejected that game, to be totally honest with you. That was a trip. That was a trip on the Miami Heat. I'm referring back to the Miami Heat series, well, Miami Heat play-in game, where LaMelo Ball tripped Bam Adebayo. Clearly, that should have been an ejection. Listen, I understand it's playoff basketball. The refs ignore certain things, but a play that egregious should not have been ignored. That whistle should have been blown on that. And for the league to just fine him $35,000, I got a problem with that too. Like, listen, it's his second time doing it to Bam. I'm not saying that LaMelo Ball is a dirty player. He's not Grayson Allen. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that that particular call should have been punished. That's all I'm saying. It was a dirty play. Plain and simple. It was a dirty play. All right, as far as the Spurs are concerned, too much Spurs, too much Celtics, too much Thunder, too much Cavaliers. Those teams are rolling right now. As this NBA playoff season progresses, you're going to hear me consistently say this. I have the Spurs and the Celtics in the finals, Spurs winning it. Right now, the Boston Celtics are too much to handle. Jaylen Brown looks completely healthy. Jason Tatum, sorry, looks completely healthy. Jaylen Brown was always healthy. He was doing some load management stuff here, you know, but Boston Celtics are going to come out of the East, and they're going to come out. They're not going to come out with flying colors because they're going to have to deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going to have to deal with a Detroit Pistons team that's going to push them, just like the Spurs are going to have to deal with the Thunder and the Nuggets. But I have the Spurs and I have the Celtics coming out of those series. And I have them playing in the NBA Finals. Playing for the Larry Brown Trophy. I have those two and I have the Spurs winning. I think Wembanyama is too much Wimby. And that Spurs team, just like the Celtics team, is stacked. 100% stacked. And both teams seem pretty healthy. Everybody at this point in time has some nicks and bruises. Everybody's dealing with something. But those two teams look like they're going to be on high cylinders. And they're flying high right now, those two teams. So we'll see how this whole thing transpires. But I do like the Spurs and I like the Celtics. All right, folks, we got to take a break. We got to pay some bills. On the other side of the break, we got special guest C.H. Collins. We're going to run down this NFL draft. We're going to give you a heavy dose of the Cowboys and how we think that how they should maneuver. We're going to run that down after on the other side of the break.
East Texas, Alicia's Food for the Soul, located at 1511 East Marshall Avenue, Longview. Same unforgettable flavor, same love, same soul. If you know, you know. If you don't, it's time you did. Alicia's Food for the Soul, where every plate feels like home.
Discover health aids for your home from Manley's Furniture in Longview and Craig Furniture in Marshall. Have difficulty sitting or standing? With a touch of a button, recline or stand in comfort with your lift chairs. And a doctor's prescription can save the tax. For added convenience, we carry the Assista Tray, a 2-in-1 swivel tray to keep handy items close with a support handle that fits any couch or chair to assist you in standing. Make your home life easier at Craig Furniture in Marshall and Manley's Furniture in Longview, partners with you and your home.
Sports fans, stay locked in. On the Mark Sports with Markel Collins-Gray brings you real talk, real insight, and the stories behind the game. only on KJTX 104.5 FM.
Hi guys, welcome back to On The Mark. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Markel Collins Gray. I have a very special guest right here. I have none other than C.H. Collins with us. We're going to get right into this NFL draft. C.H., welcome to the show.
Well, it's just good to be here. I just appreciate the opportunity and the privilege, man, just to sit down and talk sports with you.
Interesting to see what Jerry Jones is going to do here. I think he probably should trade up to go get Reuben Bain Jr. out of Miami. I've said this before, you need an edge rusher. They desperately need one right now. At what cost do you move up on that, though? I mean, I don't think Reuben Bain is going to be there at the 12th pick. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. The Raiders and the Jets are not going after Reuben. The Giants have the 5th and 10th pick. Commanders have the 7th. That could happen there.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
You know, I got to tell you something, Markel. I am actually looking forward to this draft. I don't pay a lot of attention sometimes, but this one is so unusual to me that it's set up for the Cowboys to get exactly what they want if they are smart. I look at traditional drafts. Usually individuals are going to be going after quarterbacks. They're going to be going after offensive tackles. They're going to be going after wide receivers. But we don't have none of that in this one. I think that's one of the reasons why so many of the teams are trying to trade back to try to get something for next year, when those positions are going to be plentiful, are going to be special. But this year, in this non-traditional draft, we got a bunch of defensive players. When you start looking at the top six, there are nothing but defensive people, linebackers or pass rushers or safeties. And I think that's a positive for the Cowboys if they are smart about it. But what do you think about that?
All right, well, the Dallas Cowboys are in a very compelling position here. For the first time in a long time, they do not need any offensive players. This draft, you're 100% right. This draft is defensive heavy, and that's exactly what they need. The question is, though, like I was saying earlier, Reuben Bain Jr., I really would like to see a star on this helmet. You need a pass rusher. And that kid from Miami, I told you, Miami, Alabama, Auburn, those guys got rushers. You need rushers. Ohio State, you need rushers. Reuben Bain Jr. at the University of Miami is a very, very, very special edge rusher. And I think that that's somebody that the Cowboys need to pick that could change that defense immediately, similar to what Micah Parsons did.
Well, what about Akeem Mesidor? What do you think about him? He's out of Miami also.
I'm a fan of anybody coming out of Miami. to be totally honest with you, if you watched how they played this entire year, listen, anybody in that position, in any position at the University of Miami, the way they play defense is a steal. I mean, the Giants have the, if I go back to the Giants, they have the 5th and the 10th pick. If I'm the Giants, I'm like, yeah, Miami here, Miami there. Miami is going to be in a situation, Uncle Curtis, to where they're going to have a plethora of players coming off the board in the first round. Similar to how they were in 2000 and 2001. When I think they had like 11 players drafted, it's going to be something similar that year to that. This draft is going to be for the Miami, for the University of Miami, is going to be something similar to that. They're going to have to see a lot of people come off the board early, early and often.
Well, I got to tell you something. I was really concerned when I heard that they got rid of Dexter Lawrence, at least the Giants had. And then I got to looking at it real closely. Dexter Lawrence going to Cincinnati really changed things for me as far as me thinking about the Cowboys staying at 12, because Cincinnati needed defense. And when they got Dexter Lawrence, I said, okay, all right. So that puts the Giants at what, 5-10?
5-10.
All right. If the Giants at 5-10 now, and the Giants, we know they need offensive help. They've been looking for an offensive lineman for the longest. And if they're just not being spiteful and trying to spite the Cowboys, they're going to go with one defensive player and one offensive player. That leaves Sonny Styles, David Bailey, or Orville Ross, or Caleb Downs, or Bain, or Howell. Maybe they're at 12, and the Cowboys could stay at 12. What do you think?
That would be ideal. That would be ideal. The Cincinnati Bengals are made up exactly like the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cincinnati Bengals, just like the Dallas Cowboys, were defensive players short. Put up all the points they want to. You go look at the makeup of the Bengals. The Bengals are made up almost identical, offensively-wise, as the Cowboys. But yet they have the same holes, defensively-wise, as the Cowboys did. So making that trade with the Giants really did help them out. And they gave that kid a $28 million extension. So they're locked in on that. But that's one player. The Cowboys, if they get this, and this is, and I don't mean to sound like I'm moving around a lot, but the Dallas Cowboys had Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb restructured their contracts, which means they were freeing money up. But if you're going to free that cash up, who are you paying? Because you don't need to pay these draft picks right now. So that's telling me that somewhere down the line, Jerry's got a trick up his sleeve, because he's sitting on a lot of money right now. He's sitting on a lot of money. So, yes, you're going to need a linebacker. Yes, you need an edge rusher. You need a safety, and you need a corner. And you need all those, this pick. The thing about it is I think the Cowboys have in round 3-7, I think they have the 6th pick or something like that. So the position-wise, I think you're 100% right. They are in a position to strike. I would feel a lot more comfortable if they moved up and got this kid immediately. I would feel a lot more comfortable about that. And I don't think the Giants are in a position to spike Dallas right now. And I say that because they have way too many holes to fill. And I don't think that Harbaugh is that type of coach to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what I really feel. I'm probably alone in this thought, but I think Jerry has an old time wrong concept about handling the money for the Cowboys. I think he looks at it like, I'll give you an example. I believe when you run a household, you're supposed to make sure that you can pay for everything. You're supposed to make sure that you can put money back for a rainy day or for retirement. And you handle your whole household like that. Handling the Cowboys is a whole different ball game. I think he should take some lessons from the Rams and understand that you can stretch out those contracts for many, many years and still have some of the best players that's walking the face of this earth right here on your squad. Without worrying so much about the salary cap, you can do that if you know how to handle your money. If you know how to stretch your money out and pay an individual, the Rams are still paying for players that have left their team. Because when they spent all that money initially and they won that Super Bowl, everybody was saying, oh, boy, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble in a few years. Well, they bounced back in a hurry because their philosophy was, don't worry about that the money that you're paying these individuals right now. Just stretch it out and give it to them throughout the years. I think the Cowboys have missed the mark of that. I think they're trying to hold on to money and not spread their money out in such a way that they can be good and get the best players available right now. What do you think about that?
I 100% agree with that, but it's also Jerry Jones, man. Jerry Jones beats to a different drum. I think right now, in order for them to stay relative, they're going to have to pay this Pickens kid, and they don't want to pay him. I mean, listen, Jackson Smith and Jigba got a 4-year, $168 million contract from the Seattle Seahawks. $42 million guaranteed. I mean, $42 million a year, I think $120 million guaranteed. George Pickens is going to be seeking that same kind of setup. And like I just mentioned, that the Cowboys restructured a lot of money. They moved around a lot of money. And they got to, if that's not where that cash is going, I don't know where it's going. And the way that the Dallas Cowboys are set up in their front office isn't really conducive to getting things done like that. And that needs to get done. That Pickens deal should have been done. I'm not really worried about Aubrey. But if you don't have Pickens, I don't really think you're going to have a CeeDee Lamb that's going to operate the same way that he did last year. It goes back to that money situation that you just talked about.
One thing you've got to do, you've also got to look at the locker room. You've got to make sure that you have peace in your locker room, and the locker room understands that you as ownership are going to do what's best for each and every one of the players. All eyes are looking. I don't care what you say. The way they handled Parson, it had an effect on the locker room. The way they handled Pickens is going to definitely have an effect on the locker room as far as I'm concerned, because that is so important. For you have that mental attitude. We got a bunch of players here, a bunch of individuals that are up for draft right now that are talented. It's almost kind of like it's parody, because you got so many with the same talent level. But when Jerry understands this, the locker room and the attitude of his players means a lot, and they look at what he does every single transaction that he makes. If I'm one of the players, I'm saying, wait a minute, do they really care that much about me in the first place? Are they really looking out for me? Why are we having such a hard time every time we have a negotiation? What is going on up there? What do you think about that?
I firmly believe that if they don't get this Pickens deal done and it turns out negative, there is going to be some problems in the locker room. I really do. I firmly believe on the offensive side of the ball, if you don't have George Pickens on the field, your chances of winning go down. And I do firmly believe that locker room, that offensive side of the locker room, understands that they have a legitimate shot of getting this thing done. But they need that guy to do it.
I believe that, too. I really do. Because talent loves talent around them. It seems like we have some very unselfish guys who want to give it their all. Because you can have talent, but you can have individuals that don't want to give it their all. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because when you have guys who are really just hang out, ready to just come to practice, do the thing, work on the off season, work at times that you don't even see them, knowing that they have got a legitimate shot because they've got talent on their team. And when you start getting rid of that talent, you're going to have a problem. You can have a problem with the talented guys.
I really do believe that when DeMarcus Lawrence made his statement about, you know, he had to come out to Seattle in order to win and because things would run differently, that says a lot. And I do believe that some of these players want to win with the star on their helmet. They want to go to the Super Bowl. You go look, and even some of these defensive players are like that. But that defensive room is so depleted. And the one thing about, you mentioned Jerry earlier about the finances of it all. The one thing that Jerry needs to do that he's not going to do is that he needs to realize that he's going to have to spend some money on his coaching staff in order to get the job done. He's real cheap in the pocket on that. And for some odd reason, he does not want to pay coaches. He's going to have to figure out a way to get this done and swallow his pride on that, because you're going to have to pay some money in order to get the best out of your players. You're going to have to pay some money to get it. And it's going to have to start with the coaching staff. These linebacker rooms, cornerback rooms, secondary rooms, front line rooms, they've got to I'm not saying they need to hear a different voice, because I do think that some of these position coaches are doing a great job. But as far as head coaches and as far as like coordinators, they got to spend some money on that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think you have really hit it there, because I've been saying this for years. The fact is that when you start looking at the salary cap, you start looking at the money that's been designated to each team, that has got nothing to do with the payment for the coaches. And when you start looking at the payment for the coaches, that's a whole different animal. And that's one that Jerry wants to make sure he can pocket himself. He can keep it down where he doesn't. That's one of the reasons why he doesn't want to pay these coaches, because he is so concerned about his bottom line. I remember he made a statement one time. His statement was simple. He said he's always afraid of going broke. I said, what? He said that, and that was a statement that he made, and he meant it. The fact is that he wants to control as much money in his own pocket as he can. And he shows that by the way he pays his coaches, which is not controlled by the players or by the union. So I know you hit it right on the head then, because we've looked at that for years. This guy right here, I don't care how you slice it, Jerry Jones has been a financial wizard all these years, but he is still cheap. And that's all it is to it.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing about it is that the Dallas Cowboys is a financial juggernaut right now. I mean, they make Jerry's making money in his sleep. I mean, like they really are the number one sports franchise in the world globally, number one. But at some point, I don't care how deep your pockets are. If winning is important to the Jones family, they need to go change some things. How they conduct business. They got to change some things, how they conduct business. If winning is important. Because we can sit here and debate it all we want to, because all signs are pointing to money is important. And it's been important for 25 years. All signs are pointing to money being important. Winning is not. Yes, we've seen Jerry sit up there in the booth and shed tears. If winning is important, Jerry, you need to rethink how you conduct business.
I know, coach. I know Mike Fisher made a statement a few years ago. He said the Cowboys are a marketing company that plays football on the side. And that's
fact.
That's what it seems like sometimes to me.
And you know, for the fans who really don't invest a lot of time and energy, and they just go to the football games on Sundays just because they like hanging out with their friends and they tailgate. But when you start to peel off the layers of that onion as a fan, and you start to realize that none of this is in your best interest, that stings more than anything. That stings more than anything. You go look at some of these other franchises. Go look at the Eagles, for crying out loud. Eagles have won twice in the last, 10 years? Maybe 6 years. The Giants, I firmly believe the New York Giants, I'm going to stay in the NFC East. I firmly believe that your Giants are trending upward. Going to get Harbaugh, I firmly believe they're trending upward. And as far as the Commanders are concerned, I was a firm believer in the Commanders the moment they went and got Dan Quinn. Jerry going to find himself being at the bottom of the NFC East here in the next couple of years if you don't watch it.
Well, I don't want to say he doesn't care, because I think he does. I think he cares about his image, but I think he is of the mindset that there are certain things that he is not going to do to change that image. I even look at Stephen. Stephen thinks everything is all right when he throws up those two fingers talking to, anyway, you have to kind of watch his video to see that. This guy really does not get it. And the fact is, until there is a mind change up front, until there is a change of your whole dynamics as the way you transact business, you are still going to have the problem. And I hate to say it, that if when you've been doing it for 80-something years, you may not be ready to change. And that's just the way it is.
You know, we get, after every disappointing season, you know, there are some seasons that were not disappointments. But after every disappointing season, when the Cowboys have been projected to go deep into the playoffs, make their run, which is, to be totally honest with you, they've been predicted to make a run since Dak Prescott has been behind center. I want you to think about what I just said. The Dallas Cowboys have been predicted to make a deep run since Dak Prescott has been under center. And they really were predicted to make a deep run when they had Ezekiel Elliott as a running back. They had Amari Cooper. Like, the Cowboys have been, since that, and I'm stressing Dak Prescott because a lot of people don't believe in his ability. I do. I believe in his ability. I believe in his leadership. I believe on how that guy plays football. But after every disappointing season, Jerry gets under the mic, gets in front of the microphone and says, oh, we're going to make changes. We're going to make changes. And he ends up firing a coordinator, whatever. That's his way of making change. That's his way of making change. That's his way of saying, okay, fans, I hear you. I'm going to fire the defensive coordinator, or I'm going to fire the offensive coordinator, or I'm going to go get rid of Mike McCarthy. You're getting rid of the wrong people, man. You're getting rid of the wrong people. Jerry Jones has yet, and that entire Jones family, has yet to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what? We just might be the problem here. Change the way you do business, Jerry.
And that's not going to happen no time soon.
No, it's not.
And that's what's so disappointing about a fan like I am. I've been a fan of the Cowboys all my life. And they're probably going to be pulling for them next year, too. I'm praying that they make the right choices in this draft. They start looking at the situation, and if they have to move up, because they know what's going on, because they know the inner workings of what's happening more than we do. So they know what they need to do to get the people that they want to get or need to get. And it's just laid out for them right now. You got all of these prime defensive players laid out when most of your teams are looking for offense. And they're waiting for something to fall down to them, and it may or it may not, because there's a lot of spitefulness out there also. Well, when the Giants say, I'll take somebody to keep you from getting it, That does exist. And the fact is that the Cowboys need to make sure or need to understand if they need to move up, they need to move up.
But at what cost, though?
Well,
at what cost?
That the thing about it is, because there is such an urgency for so many of the teams up in the top 10 to move down, because so they can get picks for next year, they are willing to trade. They are willing to make those deals. And the fact is, because like I said, next year is supposed to be the time, prime time year, where you can get yourself some offensive players, where you can just get yourself a quarterback. You can't get them this year. So those picks aren't that important to them, and you can get those picks cheap this year. It's laid out and ready for the Cowboys to make a move. And I don't know if they're going to do it.
That would be ideal. I mean, listen, I don't think Jerry's scared to roll the dice on moving up. If the price is right, it's just a matter of whether or not they get the opportunity that they seek. For example, the first person that the Cowboys should pick defensively wise, they should go get a rusher. They should go get a linebacker or an edge rusher. whether or not who they want is going to be on the board at that time changes things. Because you don't want to be in a situation where you need an edge rusher and a linebacker almost immediately, like you need a right arm, then now you're stuck with going to get a safety or a corner. Should not be at 12. That should not be your 12th pick. Should not be your 12th pick nor your 20th pick. That should be your second, third round picks.
Well, I know that I feel like Rodriguez will be there. Sonny Styles is probably going to be gone. You start looking at Bailey as a pass rusher. I'm not sure if he's going to be there. But the fact is that Caleb Downs, I wish he would be there at least 12 or 20, but I doubt it very seriously. The only thing I can see is trying to move up at least up to six or get the Cleveland pick. So, because the matter of fact is that we know for a fact Andre Breer, he's the one who started all this trade talk in the first place with the Cleveland Browns, that he's ready to make a deal because he wants to make sure that he can prepare himself for next year, not this year.
Let me ask you this question. In 2020, the Cowboys were, again, it sounds like we've a broken record here, again, defensively depleted. CeeDee Lamb fell in their lap. Do you feel, because I'm starting to feel, listening to everything you just said, I'm starting to feel this way, that if the Cowboys don't move up and they stay at 12 and a star receiver or a star running back is available on the board, I got to think they're going to do it. I got to think they'll do it. I've got to think they'll do it. I firmly believe, and I hate to say this, I firmly believe as much as badly as they need defense, if there's a standout player on the board, an offensive standout player on the board, whether it be receiver or especially if it's a receiver, because if it is a receiver, that means you don't have to pay Pickens. And if it's a running back, that changes things too. If you get like there's no Ezekiel Elliott in this draft. Well, there is a kid from Notre Dame, but he's going to be off the board by then. But let's hypothetically say that there is an offensive running back, or there's a running back or a receiver that you honestly feel that can change that offensive side of the ball immediately. And no matter how much you need defense, I firmly believe they'll do it.
Well, I got it.
And that puts you right back in that same situation. That puts you right back in the situation you're in right now, stuck.
Well, I can tell you what, the only positive about that, the only thing that would inspire me about the situation they're in is Kristen Parker. I think they got a coach that knows how to coach. That's speculation right now. We'll see what's going to happen coming up. But that's my Kool-Aid right now. We've got somebody there that can train the players that we've got, the players have respect for, and will listen to him because they know that he has worked in a system that works, and the guy is supposedly knowing what he's doing. So that's the only thing I can look at.
Okay, so you traded Osei Odighizuwa because you're going to adapt to a 3-4 defense instead of a 4-3 defense. That's why you got rid of Odighizuwa right there. That's why you desperately need an edge. But I'm not sure. Okay, I am 100% with you on the assessment about the defensive line. I am suspect. I got a lot of questions about the linebackers, and I got a whole dissertation of questions about the secondary.
I got to tell you something. I hate to interrupt you, but I got to say this right here. How can so many players that were above average players get so bad in 1 year? How can it happen?
That is all coaching right there.
Exactly.
All coaching. That is all coaching right there. 100%.
100%. That's why the addition of Christian Parker gives me encouragement that even some of the guys that we thought that was just terrible and awful where they were not before can come back and do the job they need to do.
I hope you're right about that, because the best defensive coordinator I think the Cowboys have had in the last 20 years, you let walk out the door, Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I agree.
You let him walk out the door. And you want to talk about the Cowboys being top percentile of the conversation of being picked to make a run. Those 3 years that they had Dan Quinn, there it was. And then it just came down to your head coaching making simple clock management. Oh man, we could get going on that all day. Clock management decisions that cost them games. But it wasn't on the defensive side of the ball. Now you're in a position where Schottenheimer, I think, is a slightly better coach, not as experienced, slightly better coach than McCarthy. I think he has their ear, the player's ear on that. But defensively, I hope you're right about this Parker kid, because you just let Dan Quinn out the building, and that hurt.
I think that what we're going to see right here is we're going to, after the number six pick, we're going to get a good idea as to what the Cowboys are going to do. If all of these guys, when you start looking at all these defensive players, if some fall down to 12, because I don't think they're going to trade up, because he worked too hard to get those first round picks. So I don't think they're going to trade up at all. But after he gets down to the number six pick, where all of these defensive players are still around, or the majority of them are still around, that maybe fall down to 12, then we're going to get an understanding of how we're going to feel about the Cowboys next year. And that's what I'm looking forward to, because we don't know what's going to happen. We really don't. They do crazy things when they start drafting. They do things that are just, that when we look at it, seem a little bit stupid. but that's just the way I feel about it. Not nobody else, I hope. You know. But
I agree with you there.
You know. So I'm gonna feel a lot better come next Monday. Well, yeah, the next Monday, because I think draft's going to be, what, Thursday?
Yes, Thursday.
So we're going to have a nice conversation then about what's going to happen. And we're going to either be jumping up for joy, or jumping back on the bandwagon, or we're going to be, I don't know what we're going to be doing. But we'll find out.
I agree with that 100%. Listen, the last 10 years, Cowboys have drafted pretty well. Actually, since Dak and Ezekiel, I stay on those two, because Elliott was supposed to be on the plane. He was on the plane to help Romo out. Romo goes down. Prescott comes in. Rest is history.
Yeah.
Prescott needs another running back, but you know, it's really hard to find a running back that blocks the way Ezekiel Elliott did. It's hard to find that. So Prescott needs that, but that's not first round right now. I think right now, and I hope you're right, man, just get what you need, not what you want. Get what you need. If Jerry gets what he needs, because right now Parker should have the voice in the war room, he should be saying, "All right, Schottenheimer, I don't need to see you until round 4 or 5. I need to get this done. I need these players. In order for me to help you on the offensive side of the ball, I need players. I need them right now." I hope that happens, because again, when CeeDee Lamb fell in our lap, it was literally a carrot hanging over your head, dipped in chocolate. You just couldn't resist. You just couldn't resist.
Well, before I leave, I got to tell you this. I really do. The vibe that I get is that Jerry is actually giving Kristen Parker some say-so, and he's listening to her. He's got so much criticism over the last defensive coordinator. He felt like he had to do something, and I think he did. And we just pray that he lets him have his way and lets him build his system the way he wants to build it, and maybe things will change next year.
Okay. With that said, CH, thank you for the conversation. We're going to take a quick break right now, folks, and when we will come back, we will talk a little WNBA, because there is a major signing.
East Texas, Alicia's Food for the Soul, located at 1511 East Marshall Avenue, Longview. Same unforgettable flavor, same love, same soul. If you know, you know. If you don't, it's time you did. Alicia's Food for the Soul, where every plate feels like home.
Sports fans, stay locked in. On The Mark Sports with Markel Collins-Gray brings you real talk, real insight, and the stories behind the game. Only on KJTX 104.5 FM.
Discover health aids for your home from Manley's Furniture in Longview and Craig Furniture in Marshall. Have difficulty sitting or standing? With a touch of a button, recline or stand in comfort with your lift chairs. And a doctor's prescription can save the tax. For added convenience, we carry the assisted tray, a 2-in-1 swivel tray to keep handy items close, with a support handle that fits any couch or chair to assist you in standing. Make your home life easier at Craig Furniture in Marshall and Manley's Furniture in Longview, partners with you and your home.
All right, welcome back to On the Mark. I'm your host, Markel Collins-Gray. This final segment is brought to you by the Bynum family, Jane and Mark Allen, Greg Yorkerson, Jack Kogniski. Folks, we've talked about the WNBA and the new CBA collective bargaining agreement for a little bit. We've kind of combed over it. Well, Aliyah Boston for the Indiana Fever just signed one of the richest contracts in WNBA history. She got a 4-year extension, $6.3 million. Folks, that is awesome. 3 years, $6.4 million deal. That deserves to be acknowledged. You got to remember now, it wasn't until this new CBA that they're starting to get millions put on the end of it. Before, they would sign a two-year deal for like $500,000 or a 3-year deal for like $600,000. So for them to start putting the extra zero behind that, yeah, that's super. Like, listen. So I'm reading this article now. She'll make $1 million this season, replacing her previous 2026 salary, which is $574,000. So that is a huge jump. I'm all in for it. I'm glad these girls are getting paid. Really excited about how the WNBA is trending upwards. It's refreshing to feel the ability that these ladies are starting to get paid for what they're worth. That's just me talking. I always had an issue with them going overseas, trying to make ends meet, going to play, you know, basketball for other countries. I get why they had to do it at that time, but to see this big turnaround is just amazing. So for all of those that are hating on Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu, y'all should not be. Stop it. Shout out to Aliyah Boston, richest contract in WNBA. And there's more to come, folks. The season starts May 17th. I will be watching. All right, so that's it for this week for me. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for my special guest, C.H. Collins, for coming in. Get a little conversation on the NFL draft. It's starting out Thursday. We'll see what the Cowboys bring. Like, the NFL draft is always one of the exciting things for me to watch. That in the NBA draft itself. So I'll be extremely glued to the telly Thursday. All right, folks, thanks again for listening. Thank my producer, and I would like to thank my sponsors.
We'll see y'all next week.
This hour on KJTX 104.5 FM is powered by those who believe in the vision behind On the Mark. With Markel Collins Gray, the Bynum family, Jennifer, and Mark Allen, and Greg Jorgensen. Because of their support, On the Mark continues to grow, reach, and impact lives across the Arklatex and beyond. Be part of building community radio throughout KJTX 104.5 FM.com.